This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome aboard. My name is Adam Ritz. It's the Adam Ritz Show, and Jay Baker joining me. Hey, Jay, how's your day going?
I am having a great day, Adam, and of course, I have been waiting all day to be part of the Adam Ritz Show.
Talking public affairs is just one of your favorite things to do, isn't it?
Well, it's something I've dedicated my life to.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I mean, you have dedicated at least a portion of your life to it. You do this show with me every week.
Heck yeah.
It's just funny to hear someone say they've dedicated their lives to public affairs radio.
This is going to sound silly, but something that I became acquainted with within the last few years of my life, it's the phrase for the greater good. And you don't want to be too, foo-foo, fro-fro, but, there is something to be said about trying to help people live their best life. And I think that that's kind of what public affairs does. And it's kind of an overlooked function of our day-to-day life.
It is quality information. And, you don't know what you don't know. So hopefully you might learn something here that helps your life. And here's one that I thought just affected guys like you and I. We are middle-aged at best. We are facing elderdom in the throat. Elderliness is right around the corner for both of us.
It is, sadly.
The state of elderliness is right there, and we cannot avoid it. But so you think of scams, and digital scams are getting more prevalent. Every once in a while, we do a scam alert on this show, and we touched on this a few weeks back with the Department of Transportation toll booth, toll road, toll fee scam that had been going around. And I wanted to bring it up again because it doesn't just grab the elderly. I know the elderly are more susceptible to a scam like this because they just, you grow up in the world of the 1960s, 1970s. You could actually trust somebody on the phone. You could trust that that somebody contacting you with a possible bill probably wasn't a third-rate criminal just trying to scam you out of a few thousand dollars. Well, it's just happening so much now that it's not even the elderly that are susceptible to this. And I bring you Exhibit A, Jay. Here in at the radio station in the office, there was a young woman, 28 years old, who almost got scammed by that NDOT toll road scam that was going around a few weeks ago.
Holy cow.
So it's not just, guys like us and the elderly. It is the 20-somethings are even maybe falling prey to getting a text from what seems to be an official possible government outlet that says you owe them money or, your name is going to get on a list or you possibly might even face arrest.
Well, and let me just underscore why what you're saying is so interesting to me. Is our show originates from a state that has a very famous toll road in the northern part of the state. For a long time, that was the only toll road in the state. There are a couple of toll bridges as you head into the state south of us, but this is not a state that is full of various toll roads, much like, the state of Florida is abundant with toll roads.
Yeah.
So yes, we have at best a handful of toll roads. So if somebody sends you a message, hey, you violated a toll and you need to send money to this link, I find that fascinating that someone that was young, almost responded to it.
Well, I think you just start going in your head backwards. Okay, there's no toll roads around here, but you know, I guess it's possible sometime in the last 90 days, maybe I drove through a toll booth and didn't stop and pay. I guess I'll pay. I don't want to get fined and I don't want to get in trouble, so I'll pay this. And had she not brought it up in a not an official meeting, we were having just sort of a, I guess you'd call it a BS session between cubicles. And she brought it up, and like three of us were like, that's a scam.
Right.
That is
a
scam.
Let me help you.
Yeah. So had she not brought it up at all, and maybe she would have gone home and got online and paid the scam. So
Wow. It's
not just the elderly. It's not just the middle-aged. Any single and every single age group is susceptible to getting scammed. It's just how real does this look? And I've got some keys here, Jay, that are indicators of a scam. Unsolicited calls, texts, or emails demanding immediate payment.
Yes.
So if there is an unsolicited form of communication, the best way to, I guess, combat that or find out if it's real is to cease the communication, and then you go out on your own and try to get in touch with that supposed leg of the government to see if it exists and if it is in fact real.
Well, if I were creating a toll road commission in my state, I would call it the Toll Bureau. So you're correct. I would say call directory assistance. Say, I want those toll people on the phone now. The reason why I laugh is, you know, you'd have to call 16 different agencies and they'd go, no, we don't handle that.
Right, exactly.
So you raise a great point. You wouldn't even find someone that would say, yeah, the Toll Road Commission, we got real serious about a month ago and decided we were going to really hammer people. You and I know these basic tolls are at best $4 or $5. They're not going to go to some extreme manhunt,
no,
round your family up, impound your car kind of punishment for that toll. They're just not.
And they're not going to reach out to you via text.
No.
Or even email. They will reach out to you via mail, and most likely they'll have a picture of your vehicle. That's how they got your address, from your license plate. So if you get something in the mail with a picture of your car driving through a toll booth without paying, yeah, that's probably real. Don't ignore that.
With a picture of your sister behind the wheel smiling after she borrowed your car. That's what you're going to get, right?
So another key indicator of a scam here, Jay, is requests for payment using unusual methods like gift cards, payment apps, cryptocurrency, wire transfers, demands for personal information like your Social Security number, your bank account details.
Yes.
So that personal information. And then probably the biggest red flag are threats of arrest or legal action if you don't pay.
Right.
So
that's a good point. And that's the leverage they use, because that sounds so scary to a law abiding, wanting to do their best for themselves person. Of course, they would be afraid of being apprehended.
Now,
you know, for a $4 toll, I've always said at least 20 years in prison will cover it.
You know, that would usually save you. Just a quick 20, couple of decades in the hole.
Couple of decades.
If you don't pay your $4
solitary
toll road.
That's the crime. You know, no, I mean, we're kidding about this, but you're right. People see these things and they perceive them as, hey, this is serious. I could go to jail. You're absolutely correct. The second they ask for cryptocurrency for a $4 toll, that may be a clue that this is a scam.
And then here's another way to combat it is to search it. So let's just say the toll road, especially with AI now, you can get, I don't know if you've Google searched something recently, Jay, but now when you Google search something, you know, you'll get an AI response at the top of your Google search in addition to the links that are connected to your search. So I just, as we were speaking, I just searched toll road scam.
Right.
And, You know, there are definitely some links and articles about warnings for scams. There's been some news affiliates across the country do stories on this. But the very first thing that popped up is a paragraph that says, if you've gotten any texts lately telling you that you need to pay up after using a toll road or that it is your last chance to pay up, that message is not legitimate. It's part of a new smishing or text scam that has been popping up all over the country. So I think just a quick Google search could give you some peace of mind if you have a quick panic attack that you owe somebody money and that they say you're going to be in legal trouble if you don't pay. Do a quick little Google search and maybe you'll get an AI paragraph tell you, yeah, this is a scam.
Well, and to help people feel a bit better, we've talked about on this show, we're the first to kid around, but the big government agencies like Social Security, federal government, IRS, they most likely will only contact you via U.S. mail. Mm-hmm. And that's the way to sort of ferret out, is this legitimate or not? And I thought that that was a great hint. The reason why criminals avoid the U.S. mail, it's slow and it adds federal charges to them if and when they're caught.
Ooh, that is using the mail. I saw the movie The Firm with Tom Cruise. You do something illegally through the mail and that's a federal felony crime right there. You're right. And it's slow.
Yes. Well, and watching Tom Cruise in some films is criminal, but that's not a topic for today. But yes, I'm the first to kind of kid around because I find these scams to be self-evident. I am always glad when you bring them up, Adam, because this particular one is sort of transcending borders because it is going on in almost every state. I bet you there are a handful of states, can't guess which ones, that don't have any tolls at all on their roads. But I bet that scam is going out.
Oh, without question. And they're just counting on people to say, did I drive through a toll booth? I don't know. I can't remember. Here's my debit card number. Let's just take care of this right now.
And your lack of familiarity may lead you to believe, yes, I did drive through an area that had a toll road. But it is funny, like you pointed out, where we live here in the great Midwest, there is a lack of toll roads. But that may be even more incentive for somebody to say, maybe I accidentally did that because I don't have familiarity with toll roads. You and I know that if you spend much time in Florida or Illinois or where every third road requires you to pull over and throw a dollar into something, we already know.
You know, we don't have many toll roads, but we have a lot of roundabouts. So if you get a text from the Adam Rich Show that says you owe $1 per roundabout, that is a scam.
Wouldn't that be great if you and I on a Saturday afternoon went out with some cardboard signs at a roundabout?
Toll.
Hey, $1.
Pay the toll.
$1.
Well, based on the amount of people that don't know how to traverse a roundabout, I think we could make a few thousand dollars.
That's funny. Yeah, we'd have a good afternoon.
All right, what else is happening?
That's pretty funny. Well, you know, combing through the news, we always like to honor and recognize rock and roll bands that are doing things the right way. How about celebrities? William Shatner famously portrayed Captain Kirk. He's an eccentric guy, but he's going to be celebrating his 94th birthday doing charity work through his charity horse show, and also will be visiting Las Vegas, where he'll be putting on a couple of shows. So charity work at home with horses, and then on to Las Vegas. 94 looks pretty good on Captain Kirk.
You know, I had to pause, and I think you did say horse twice. A horse show? What is Captain
horse
Kirk has a horse show?
Yes, he got into equestrian arts probably about 20 years ago, and he was married to a woman that loved horses, and they used to put on a number of charitable horse shows at his facility, and he kept it up following her passing.
Wow, that's impressive. And at the age of 94, he's still doing this?
94.
I know he still does all those Comic-Cons, too. He shows up to these conventions for meet and greets and pictures with the fans. He's 94 years old. Take a breath, Captain Kirk. Relax.
Well, absolutely. And you'll love this. He's still a little feisty. He is a regular contributor on X, the social media platform formerly known as Twitter. And when you get Captain Kirk going, you know about it. he gets pretty saucy in the comments section.
Well, you know,
I'll leave it at that.
Once you reach your mid-90s, there are no rules for you anymore. There's no filter. You can say whatever you want, especially on social media.
You say to yourself, hey, it's Captain Kirk, for crying out loud.
He's earned the right to
he has.
To sit behind his keyboard and badmouth whoever he wants.
He wants to do it, yeah. Well, here's an interesting note. We talk so much about, you know, the types of foods that you eat. Moderation is good. Whole foods are good. Less processed foods, good. But the speed at which you eat your food matters just as much. I didn't know if you knew this. There are risks with eating too fast.
I know that they suggest to eat slower. I didn't know if there was what the risks were, so I can't wait to hear what this is.
Well, the risks are that you accidentally ingest some food, as you know, as we say in layman's terms, down the wrong pipe, where all of a sudden you're choking on your meal. Not something that you want to do. And also, when you eat fast, you tend to eat more, and you also can swallow a great deal of air with your food that can delay digestion.
I was not aware that air delayed diet. Yes. I just thought it caused an amazing amount of burps, and the sound barrier could be reached. I didn't know it had an effect on the digestion.
Yeah, it does. So they say that if you are regularly polishing off your breakfast, lunch, or dinner in less than 20 minutes, you are potentially eating too fast.
And you hit on a great point. If you eat fast, you eat more.
Yes.
And I had somebody suggest this to me once. When you want to go back for seconds, and you know, you fill your plate and you eat and you're still hungry and you go back and get more, their suggestion was wait like just 3 minutes.
Right.
Because if you wait 3 minutes, you're going to find out that, you know what, you are full and you didn't need that second full plate of food. Your mind is somehow a tick behind your mouth and stomach. So, I mean, the food tastes good, you're starving, you're shoveling it in, and then when the plate's empty, you want more immediately. But if you just wait just another 3 minutes, you might go, you know what, I am full.
Well, and see, this echoes exactly what Leslie Heinberg at the Center for Behavioral Health at the Cleveland Clinic said. She said it takes about 20 minutes for the stomach to communicate to the brain through a whole host of hormonal signals that it's full. So you are dead on, my friend.
That is not fair. That's not a good that's not a good design, that it takes your stomach 20 minutes to tell your brain that you're full.
It does it in a robot voice, though. I am full.
I love it. I need to speed up that communication process. I might look better in a bikini.
Well, and you and I know we got to hang out more with Leslie Heinberg. She sounds like she's a lot of fun. But she does raise a good point. People eat rapidly. They miss these signals. It's very easy to eat beyond the point of fullness. So think about this. Maybe you say to yourself, I want to eat in more moderation. I want to eat more. I want to eat in a healthy manner. This very simple trick of taking more than 20 minutes may be the ticket.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to try that tonight.
Yeah. So eat more slowly. There have been studies that suggested that people who eat quickly have the highest risk of obesity, while slower eaters were the least likely to be obese. They said that the biggest factor in this may be the television. If you watch TV when you eat, people tend to eat until there's a commercial or the show is over. So think about that. The commercial's 7 minutes away and you're just wolfing it down.
Yeah, the longer the show, the more you eat. And the way you said eat more slowly, it wasn't eat more, comma, slowly. It was eat more slowly.
Yes, but no, I just thought I have to chuckle just a little bit because, yeah, sadly, A, I'm Mr. TV, and yeah, it's way too easy to eat while watching TV, but mm-hmm. it's probably a good idea to try to avoid that if and you can.
Love it. Love it. Good advice. I'll try that. All these tips I'll try tonight.
Well, you'll be a better man for it.
I believe
so. Hey, here's an interesting note. You know, we've always talked about that life can be very challenging for a number of people in ways that we don't even know, but stress is taking a huge toll on a lot of Americans, and a new survey shows that it's hitting them pretty hard. The average person is experiencing peak burnout at around the age of 42 years old.
Well, that, so all I heard there is that I reached my peak burnout 13 years ago, and it's just been nothing but burnout since.
Well, it's, you know, no one works harder than you. You know that.
No, of course. Yes.
But no, I just thought that was interesting that if you think about it, burnout is a perception of how difficult things might be, and I am not making fun at all. But think about that. They are saying now that a number of Americans feel that, hey, they're hitting burnout. I mean, the point where you want to just stop working and go live in a cabin in the woods at the age of 42.
That's pretty young. That is very young. There's a lot of life left from 42.
Yeah, they queried 2,000 U.S. adults, and they found that a quarter of Americans now feel that they may be burned out by the time they've hit the age of 30. So this problem may be increasing.
I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how to relieve stress and avoid feeling like you're at the point of burnout that early with so many years and decades left on your, you know, on your, in your working life before you can actually retire. That's a number that needs to get righted somehow. I don't know how.
Well, they actually said they parsed this out a bit. What's causing all this burnout? Finances are the top factor for 30%, followed closely by, you and I have noticed this, people get a little riled up, myself included. About 26% of people feel they're being burned out by politics.
That can weigh on you. Yeah. I have several friends that just stopped watching the news altogether, and they say their life has gotten better.
Yeah.
Now, we're not saying
we're
not saying be ill-informed or not understand what's happening in the world, but maybe not doom-scrolling the headlines 5-6 hours a day may decrease your burnout levels. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Work is burning out people, and people's physical health, they feel like, is causing burnout. Now, I don't know. They just quoted this as a factor, so I don't mean, does that mean they're spending too much time on their health? I don't know, but I found that to be an interesting factor at all as well. So, yeah, be aware of that, that a number of Americans feel like, you know, they're hitting that burnout. But some folks still holding out hope. There's 42% of the population in these 2,000 adults who are optimistic that the rest of the year will be more promising. than the previous year. So there you go.
Optimism.
It's all about optimism. Here's something interesting. Adam, you love to eat out. You're a very healthy eater, but I know you love trying new places.
I do.
And going to some of your old favorites. Mm-hmm. You may be, I'd love to hear you weigh in on this. Nearly 90% of Americans think tipping is out of control.
Yes, at the counter, at counter service. If you're ordering something from a cashier, and now the way the digital payment is with the Apple Pay and the tap, you just tap your card and the next screen says tip, with a choice of three choices of a dollar amount that you think is too high. So you have to you customize your tip to make it smaller or to say no tip at all. And as far as tipping actual wait staff, I was a server at one point, and people are good tippers that used to be servers. So I consider myself a good tipper. But I have seen, Jay, recently on social media, some servers, or I guess TikTokers, you'd say, that have gone overboard on explaining to the world that here's how you should tip, and it usually comes out to about 30%. And they're saying if you can't pay a 30% tip on your bill, then you shouldn't go to a restaurant at all. And I'm saying that is out of control. No one's expecting a 30% tip. And if you're a server, I'll speak for the rest of America here. If you're a server and you expect your average customer to come in and tip you 30%, you're out of your mind.
Well, you raise an interesting point. This is combined with the thought process, not just restaurant tipping, but that tipping in general is out of control. But you raise a great point. I love eating out, but I have also noticed that the restaurants, at least in my area of the country, are charging about 20% more because they have been hit with inflation, food costs. You know, we just recently had a problem with eggs being way too high. Mm-hmm. You know, it costs restaurants a lot of money to put your dinner on the table. So you raise a great point. If the restaurant has to increase its prices by 20%, then the server wants 30%. You may be looking at something that's cost prohibitive for the average person.
It really can add up. And, I generally tip 20%, maybe a little over. And I mean, you would have to really be a terrible server for me to dip under 20%. And I will, if you're terrible. And I'm talking like ignoring, just slow service and ignoring any call for a refill. Or, I mean, you just have to be overboard terrible to get less than 20% from me. But yeah, tipping is out of control. Now, I do know people that rely on tips, and I'm not anti-tip. I support tips, even outside of the restaurant industry. I know several estheticians that rely on tips. So there are certain industries. Your barber, it's customary to tip your barber. Yes. After a haircut. It's not so customary though that you might know about it if you don't. Get a haircut from a barber very often. If your mom cut your hair with your Flobee your whole life and you just had the great clips once, you may just think the haircut costs $17 and you pay $17 and leave. It is probably a good idea to go ahead and tip too. So
it's not. Yeah.
Now here's the question, Jay, that I get lost on is holiday tipping during the holiday season. Like, when do you give your garbage man $10? And are you supposed to? What about the mailman? I think there's some of these people that they say it is customary and nice during the holiday season to tip these people. So, we'll talk about that on a future episode of the show closer to the holidays. But tipping, yeah, it can spin your head sometimes. Jay, I appreciate you coming on with all of your knowledge and know-how. And for our listeners, if you'd like to listen to this episode again, it's in podcast form on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.